Okay, I will call the August 24th meeting of the Operations and Personnel Committee together. Please call the roll.
Linda Little.
Here.
Brian Smith.
Here.
Grant Noland. John Jackson.
Here.
Rachel Joy. Bill Oliver. Patty Cox. We have 5 of 7 quorum present.
As a reminder to everyone on the committee, all votes will be done by roll call, and I'll probably forget that and you'll be reminded. So we would entertain a motion on the minutes from 6:22.
I make a motion minutes be approved.
Second.
Any corrections or discussion? Hearing none, those in roll call.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Brian Smith.
Aye.
Grant Noland.
Aye.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Bill Oliver.
Aye.
Is Rachel Joy? Patty Cox. Motion carries.
Okay. Entertain a motion on the payroll.
Okay.
Second.
Any questions or discussion on the payroll? Hearing none, we'll call the roll.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Brian Smith.
Aye.
Grant Noland.
Aye.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Bill Oliver.
Aye.
Rachel Joy. Patty Cox. Motion carries.
Would entertain a motion on the claims.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion on the claims? Madam Auditor, was there anything out of ordinary?
I don't believe so.
No, none that I know of.
Okay. You can call the roll, please.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Brian Smith.
Aye.
Grant Noland.
Aye.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Bill Oliver.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. Reports. Auditor?
This will pick me up, right? Can you hear me? The first thing I had was our, and I think I brought this to you a month or so ago, our software provider for payroll and for our whole thing, but just the payroll portion of our software will no longer be supported after July 31st of next year. And the solution they've suggested we entertain is that we outsource payroll. And they have a company they work with that outsources payroll. It outsources payroll at the charge of about $395 a person per payroll, and maybe a little less, $295 to $395. Anyway, we estimate that'll cost us an extra $40,000 to $50,000 a year just to process payroll. So the other idea is that we don't really want to outsource it. We'd rather do it in-house. And so we've been looking at some other software providers, and so I have a list of 5 of them, and I think I sent it out to the committee, a list of 5 that we had talked to, and we kind of feel that one of them is maybe a little bit above the rest, and that we would wish to go with that one if we were able to. The other thing is that of course, there's no money in the general fund to do that, so I was going to suggest that the surplus funds from the Public Building Commission money, which we've kept separate for the last few years, be made available to do that with. And so that's a suggestion I have. MIP Fund Accounting is the name of the fund operating software that we would wish to go with, given a choice to do that. And so I wanted to start with this committee first, before it goes to finance. So, questions?
I had a couple questions. First of all, you talk about paying for it out of the surplus funds and the rent. Why couldn't this come out of that fund that we had set aside for, like, copiers and things like that?
It could. We do have a fund that we do set aside to purchase like cars and vehicles and copiers.
Right.
Yes, it could. And then we would need to pay that back over the next 5, 6, 7 years. That would be possible. If we did that, and if it came from the auditor's budget, then it would come through the general fund. And I was just trying to keep it out of the general fund.
Second question I had, the provider that you are suggesting to go with is out of Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just assuming there's really not an Illinois company that deals with this per se, or
the company we currently deal with, Zobrio, they're out of St. Louis. Originally, 20 years ago, they were here in Decatur, and then they were bought out, and then they were in Springfield, and now they're in St. Louis. There are really not any local ones that I know of. Every company we talk to is located somewhere else. Most of our training and everything will be done online, or they can get on our computers and help download or do whatever they need to do to bring the software up. So we didn't really see that as a negative anymore. Sometimes it would be nice to have them here on premise, but most of the training will be remote. John?
Thank you.
What's the current workload with your payroll staff here now?
The current we have one person dedicated to payroll. She also does accounts payable for the most part, so those two functions come with the same person. And so payroll's probably, I'm going to say 50% of the time. AP gets done every week, but payroll gets done every 2 weeks. So.
I just asked that, because you can outsource.
Yeah, if we did outsource, it would cost us more than one person, I believe, that we were talking about.
My suggestion, looking over your things, I believe the purpose of this committee is to agree or disagree that we need something, and to agree or disagree with the selection that Carol has chosen to be the best for that department, since, you know, especially since finance has decided to completely take over the budgeting process. That's really the only purpose this committee has, because finance has taken control of everything else. So my suggestion is that we approve this to be moved to finance, and we'll let them decide how to pay for it.
But, question,
yeah, sure.
Did they give some kind of guidance as if they would last more than 5 years?
I'm sure they would say yes if I asked them. And this one has been around a while, and I don't know how many iterations it's gone through, but it's currently used by several other counties, which kind of made it a positive for us. But no, I don't have any guarantees.
Is there any other software with our tie-in with telling people what it is we have to tax and all that? What's our main system?
Oh, Financial Edge is the name of our main system through Zobrio.
Is the okay? So there's no tie-in with it to the same company also, Zobrio.
Yeah, but Zobrio is not the people we're going with on this proposal.
I didn't know if it was a module they could bolt onto our current system. It would.
Not really. I don't think so.
I would make a motion to this committee that we forward this to finance.
I'll second.
With the recommendation of this company. Does anyone else have any questions for the auditor? Hearing none, you call the roll, please.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Brian Smith.
Aye.
Grant Noland.
Aye.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Bill Oliver.
Aye.
Rachel Joy, have you joined the call? Patty Cox. Motion carries.
Next.
And the next resolution is on the EEO, I believe, and Jesse is going to present that one.
Hello, this is Jesse Smalley, and I am bringing to the table an amendment to the non-discrimination and anti-harassment policy. The only real changes that you'll see to the policy is just a clear and more inclusive definition of what makes up an employee. And then there's some language that was added to it. If there's a specific scenario of harassment between two elected officials, that the county will refer outside and get with the Illinois Department of Human Rights to have an independent review conducted. Other than that, there were just a few grammatical errors that were improved.
Anyone have any questions? I would entertain a motion to make the adoption.
So moved.
Second.
We'll call the roll, please.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Brian Smith.
Aye.
Grant Noland.
Aye.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Bill Oliver.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Anything from the county board?
Nothing.
Nothing, no resolutions or anything tonight. Obviously, we get started with early voting September 24th. We received about 6,500 requests for vote-by-mail ballot so far. They're still coming in, so I'm not sure how many we'll end up with.
What's the cutoff of that?
Well, 5 days prior to the election, but if you send one in 5 days prior to the election, yeah, with the mail system. I've been trying to encourage people, you know, if you get within a week of the election, you need to come in an early vote. If you get within a week of an election and you still have your vote-by-mail ballot, you probably need to hand-deliver it. The mail, as long as it's postmarked by Election Day and as long as we receive it within 2 weeks of the election, it'll get counted. But, you know, if you're concerned, I would hand-carry it in. You can also authorize someone else to hand-carry it in. There's an affidavit on the envelope if you want to do that.
How many of the postcards did you get back?
It's hard to say because the postcard listed an option for people to go online. And so between online and the postcards, we have 6,500. But there's been several party mailers that have went out.
I meant the postcard that you sent out.
I mean, yeah, we don't track the ones that we receive versus the ones that the party sent out. I mean, quite a few. Many of them were ours. Most people went the online route. I would say more than the mail, just because it was cheaper. And it's, you know, across party and age demographics. I mean, there's no real consistent type of person who's requesting a vote-by-mail ballot. It's all over the place. So, again, the expense should be reimbursed from the state. I have our grant award, and so we are at least falling under that amount. So, any other questions about the election? Or, yeah, just to talk to your, you know, constituents and, you know, get them to don't sit on those vote-by-mail ballots. Get them turned back in, and then if it gets too close, hand carry them in. Obviously, still election day voting is just like it was last election, and then early voting. We are still short election judges, so encourage. I think September 1st is a national poll worker recruitment day, and so we've been getting some people, new people, but for the most part, you know, it's the same people we usually have. And obviously, the demographic of the people that typically work election judges is skews older, so they're just not as they're concerned about working. So, all right, thanks.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Has anything else come of the CGI, GCI?
Yes. She called. I gave her your contact information, your email address, not your phone number. If you want, after the meeting, I can get you in contact with her again.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Porter.
I don't have anything to report at this time. Thank you.
Workforce investment.
Hey, I'm Rocky Wilkerson with Workforce Investment Solutions, and I'm requesting the approval of $98,500. It was a grant from the Community Foundation, and I'm requesting that you approve it for workforce. This particular money is set aside to help individuals that don't normally qualify for workforce. For an example, there might be a CNA who went through our intake process, and she might have made $10 more with her wages, so she wasn't able to be eligible or suitable for any of our workforce programs. And at that point, I could use a different pot of money to help sustain her tuition. She's been accepted at Milliken's BNA program, but she works full-time. She's a single mom, and she has three kids, but she made like $10 too much money. So that scenario is an example of what I hope to be able to do with the $98,000. Another example is we just recently had a class at the Oasis Homeless Shelter. We did a job readiness program there for 25 hours, and that money was used to offset the expenses with the instructor, and then they were referred to the programs at the public library. So the money is really targeted for populations that don't normally get any assistance. So it's a good way to reward people that are trying to find work. So I need approval for that.
I make a motion to approve the resolution.
Call the roll, please.
Linda Little.
Aye.
Brian Smith.
Aye.
Brent Nolan.
Aye.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Bill Oliver.
Aye.
Motion carries. Is that it?
Thank you. Don't see any citizens. I mean, extenuating citizens. I have no old business. I don't have new business to bring to the committee. We have no need for a closed session. Our next meeting will be September 21st. Meeting's adjourned.